This morning, we're going to look in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, and we're going to continue our study, Called to Fit In, Understanding Spiritual Gifts. The next 3 weeks, now I'm not going to be able to cover everything on spiritual gifts today, okay? I mean, there's just too much. The next two chapters are basically focused on spiritual gifts, okay? And so, if I say something that you don't agree with today, well, come back next week and let me explain further, okay? If I leave out something today that you think should have been in there, well, come back next week and see if I include it, okay? There's just a lot of ground to cover, and I'm not going to be able to cover it all today, all right? But I do want to start our focus on spiritual gifts today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, would you stand with me as we read from the precious Word of our loving God. Verse 4 says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word that gives us guidance, that teaches us, and that reveals You to us. Now, Lord, I pray that You'll bless in our study this morning, that, Lord, You'd open our eyes and our hearts to Your Word, give us understanding as never before, that we may be drawn closer to You, that we may be made better servants for You. And Lord, most of all, that those in this service who do not know You as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that today will be that day they call upon You for salvation. In Jesus' precious and holy name, we ask these blessings. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Fitting in. You know, whether we like to admit it or not, all of us want to fit in. Don't we? I mean, really, the loneliest feeling in the world is to feel like you're all alone all the time. Now, mind you, there is alone time that is very good and very private. But, you know, we all have that need, that God-given need to fit in. That's why sometimes we chase that need in wrong directions, trying to fit in with wrong crowds. You know, it's kind of our teenagers and younger people. When we're younger, we tend in that quest to fit in. We tend to chase those things. But you know, I want you to understand today, fitting in is not only okay, it is needful for the child of God. And the question I want you to answer today is, where do you fit in to God's kingdom once you're saved? Do you realize God didn't just save you to save you? Okay? God saved you to give you a place to serve Him. All right? There's more to our salvation than missing hell. And if missing hell is all there is to you, oh, you're very shallow in your Christianity. Okay? God, today I want you to understand the glorious opportunity that God has given every child of God, and it is an opportunity to serve. And the key word in our study today is unity. United. It's not just, and when I use this word united, it's not just about getting along. It's about being joined together or fitting in as the body of Christ. Okay? And we start with united by difference. In our text, we read diverse gifts for diverse ministries. Do you realize we're not all the same? Do you realize how different we are? I mean, let's face it, some of y'all are strange. I'm pretty normal, but some of y'all are a little weird. No amens. Okay, y'all are normal. I'm a little weird. There you go. We're all very, very different. And we're made very, very different. Verse 28 said, God has appointed those in the church, some apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, healings, helps, administrations, and tongues. And what I want you to get from that, I know that there are some gifts that are not used anymore, that are not needed anymore. But what I want you to get from that is how different every one of us are. We all have different gifts. And the reason that we have different gifts are the different ministries that are available, that are out there. You know, I have figured out that what works for our youth will not work for our seniors' ministry. And what works for our seniors' ministry will not work for our youth. They think we're boring. The older I get, the more I like boring. You know, the more I'm pointed that direction. But what I'm saying is there are certain ministries that will minister to certain people that will not minister to others. That's why God has made us different and given us different gifts, because of the vast variety of opportunity that is in the kingdom of God. And I want to stop right here for just a second. And I want you to realize that no one ministry is more important than the other ministry. Okay? Never get the idea that your ministry is more important. Because it's not. And I don't care if I'm talking about me as the pastor, or if I'm talking about Brother Dale as the music director, or if I'm talking about our deacons, or I'm talking about our youth ministry. All of the ministries are just as vital as any other ministry, because God has gifted all of us to minister in those various areas. Okay? Every ministry is needed. Every ministry is important. Even the outcome is different. Not only do we have different gifts, different ministries, and different activities. We have different activities. That word activities in the King James, or the New King James, is kind of misleading. The literal Greek meaning of that word activities is result. We all have different results as we serve and as we exercise those gifts that God has given to us. In our language, what I'm saying is this: there are many different gifts which has been bestowed to many different servants with many different results. But here's what I want you to get. Even though we're all different, and God has made us all different, we're all shooting for the same destination. Now, I'm not talking about heaven, okay? If you're a child of God, you're going to heaven. I've heard people say, we're all trying to get to the same place. I'm not trying to get anywhere. I'm going to heaven. Okay? Because Jesus Christ did that for me. Now, but here, what I'm talking about is we're all headed to the same direction. We all have the same goal. But here's what you have to understand about the gift that God has given you. It's not about your gift. It's about the goal. Okay? It's not about the gift, it's about your goal. You see, the important part about your gift is not that you're gifted. The important part about your gift is what you do with that gift. You see, the church at Corinth, Paul writes and he's talked about them, they'd gather together and there was a big argument. Everybody had wanted to speak in tongues. Everybody had a gift of prophecy. Everybody stepped up and said, look at me, look at my gift. I'm special because God has given me this special gift. And no, it's not about the gift. It never was. It was about the goal or what you were trying to accomplish, the purpose of that gift. Okay? So as you today serve, never get the idea that it's about your gift. Never get the idea that you're so special that God can't do without you. You mean God can do without me? Oh, absolutely. You see, God, I'm not doing God a favor by serving Him. God's doing me a favor by giving me the privilege. There's no one so important and their ministry so important that God can't do without them. As a matter of fact, God can replace us all just very easily. First thing, it's not about your gift. It's about your goal or what you're going to do with that gift. And here's the goal of that gift. The goal of your gift, the spiritual gifts were given for the profit of all. The common good. Okay, grab this. Because this is completely foreign to most people's idea of church today. Okay? Spiritual gifts were what God had bestowed on individuals so that their ministry could benefit others. Bottom line, it's not about me. Okay? My gift is not about me, and your gift is not about you. Your purpose is not to be ministered to. Your purpose is to minister. In such a seeker-sensitive society, sometimes I fear that we create people who have the concept that it's the church's job just to bow and minister and cater to their every want and need. And what we're raising is a bunch of spoiled brat children. I say that with Christian love. Okay? You see, the joy is not about getting. The joy is when we take what God has entrusted us with, those gifts, those talents, those abilities, and we use those for the common good, for the benefit of other people. I have figured out at this point in my life, it is so much better to give than to receive. I want to tell you, I'd rather minister to you than you minister to me. Because there's just some blessing in that can't be satisfied any other way. And I think that's what many people are missing in the church today. They show up for worship, but that's their Christian life. And if that's all your Christianity is, my friends, you are missing the blessing of who you are in Christ. The blessing is serving. The blessing is being a benefit to your church. It's not what can you get. It's what can you give. If you want to be happy in the Lord, start giving. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about giving yourself, using the gift that God has given you. He's made us different. He's given us many different ministries. And He set the opportunity before us. You see, the differences among us are what unites us. I need you. You need me. We need one another. Why? Because we all feel a special place because of our differences. Then we're united not only by differences, we're united by the source. Now listen, where do our gifts come from? Do you realize you were created by God? You were given everything you are. And if you're a gifted musician, you were gifted by God. If you're a gifted encourager, you were gifted by God. It all comes from God. Therefore, God can lead you and place you in whatever position He wants. Okay? Grab this, because this is foreign to many of us. Gifts are not a democracy. You do not choose and decide what gift you will have. Now, I want you to chew on that just a little bit. You do not choose what gift you have. Everybody is not supposed to do everything. There are some gifts, quite honestly, some things that you have no business doing. There are some things that I have no business doing. There are many in the congregation today might just, you know, they may make the statement, well, I would just give $1 million if I could just play the piano like Miss Beth. Well, you could give $1 million and you still wouldn't be able to play like her. You know, if that's not your gift. There are those who look at those that sung, and boy, the specials were so good this morning. Amen. Wonderful time of worship. We look at them, oh, I wish I could sing like them. But God didn't bless you with that. Listen, it's my personal opinion, and I say this out of a heart of love. There are some people who don't need to sing. Now, as a group, you can sing, right? I'm one of those people, but you know. My point is, God has made you who you are. He's made you unique. He has given you talents and abilities. Be glad for those talents and abilities that you, as a unique individual, have because they were given by God Himself. Okay? Be glad for that. I once thought as a pastor, I've got to be good at everything. If the church is in a building program, I've got to be a good builder. If the church has financial issues, I've got to be a good financial manager. If the church has mission things going on, I've got to be the best mission kind of guy. But I figured something out. I'm not good at everything. That's hard for you to believe, babe. I'm sorry to tell you this in this environment. She thinks I'm good at everything. No, she don't. She knows better. And you know what? When I got to trying to be good at everything, and I became very stretched out to the point where I was good for nothing. Yeah, I just wasn't. I was too stretched out. I wasn't gifted in certain areas. There are some things I had no business trying to even do. But you know what I did figure out? I figured out that God has gifted me in a certain few areas. Okay? And when I focus on those few areas in which God has gifted me, then I'm much better at those areas which God has gifted me in. That's my challenge to you. Gifts come from God. It's not a democracy. You don't choose what gift you have, but you choose what you use. Look at those areas where God has gifted you. And listen, so many people today say, oh, I'm just not good at anything. You're wrong, okay? If you read in the text, it says the Holy Spirit is given to each one. Okay? He has gifted you at something. You may not be a singer. That's okay. Everybody's not supposed to be a singer. But maybe you're an encourager. Have you ever been around those people who are just a joy to be around? You're glad you saw them. You were glad you were around them. When you walked away from them, you were feeling better because you had talked to them that day. That's an encourager. You know, those kind of... We don't all have the same gift. But focus on the gift that you have. You do not decide what gift you have. You do not decide where and how you will use that gift. Grab this. God made you for a special purpose. He's prepared a special place for you. He's not going to send a survey form to you and ask you where you'd like to go and what you'd like to do. You laugh, but aren't we that way? Don't we look for things that appeal to us, and this is just what I want, Lord, and this is where I'd like to be? Oh, no. Our prayer should be, Lord, what place have you prepared for me to use the spiritual gifts that you have given to me? You do not choose where and how you will use your gifts. But look at chapter 12 and verse 11 that we read before. Look what it says. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually. And read that last line for me, with me if you will. As He wills. Not as you will, as He wills. See, if God gave you the gift, He's entitled to have you use that gift wherever He leads you. Okay? As I said before, we've got to quit looking at it's about me and it's about what I want. No, it's about God and the kingdom of God and where you fit in to God's kingdom. Gifts are not a democracy, but they are a demonstration. Verse 7 of our text. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. That word manifestation, I want you to get. Your gift, given by God, is how God reveals Himself in your life. Okay? That's what this word manifestation means. It means a revelation or a clear announcement. It means that as you use your spiritual gift, and in Bible days, as they perform their miraculous spiritual gift, as you use those gifts, that people are going to look and say, that's got to be God, because He can't do that. Okay? If you're a child of God, God has chosen to reveal Himself through your life in special ways. Okay? As I said before, I know there are some gifts that are no longer in use. Okay? And we go to the end of our study, and I will mention this now about it, faith, hope, and love. Okay? I know all that. But I also know that God still gifts people in special ways. And these gifts are an outward sign of God's inward presence in your life. And I think too often, you know, the reason you cannot identify people as Christians, you ever been surprised when you found out somebody was actually a Christian? It's because it's not being displayed in their life. You know something I always found strange? How is it walking down the street, you can see a preacher coming from a mile away? Beth and I were in a restaurant a couple weeks ago, and I was in blue jeans and a shirt, and this little girl come up and she said, "You're a preacher, aren't you?" I said, "Yep, I am." I don't know, but you know I'm right. Now, you see, you spot them. And listen, it's not anything special about the preacher. It's the God they serve. Okay? But let me tell you, there should be something special in everybody's life so that people know who your God is. So that God is displaying through your life, through your actions, through the gifts that He's given you, that God is displaying Himself. Now let me ask you this question. See, this is where you fit in. How is God displaying Himself in your life? And most people, you know, they chase it like it's some great hidden secret that God, you know, is dangling in front. I know God has a special place for me. I just don't know what it is. Listen to me. Where are you? Where are you right now? Likely it's not. God's got you where He wants you. Just quit whining and pick up the cross and follow Him. You know, use your talents, your gifts, your abilities where you are. Don't waste it, because they're given by God. Then we're united by body. This started to say this is the best part, but you know, this whole text is good. We're united by body. Let's talk about the beauty of the human body for just a moment. In verse 12 in the text, we said, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the member of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." You ever just sit and think about how God created the human body? So many parts working in unison. Every part is special. Every part is important. Even the unseen parts. You know? You don't see my heart beating. But if it quits beating, you'll know it. Won't you? I'll know it. You don't see my lungs as they expand and contract with air. But if they fail, we'll know it. And you know what the awesome part about the body is? How it works in unison. I mean, just in harmony. Each part supporting the other part so that the whole body's healthy. Sometimes my body gets hungry. I mean, gets hungry, you know. But my hand don't get hungry. But you know what my hand does? My hand takes food and carries it up to my mouth and leaves it there. Oh, I like my hand. Isn't it wonderful how that works? How can I say? I've never said, boy, my hand is hungry. I say, I'm hungry. You know why? Because the hand benefits the whole body. Yeah? Isn't it neat how God made that? Paul said, that's the way the body of Christ is. As we talk about the blending of the body of Christ. Verses 13 and 14 of our text, it said, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink of the same Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. You know what Paul's saying? He's saying, just like the human body, we're the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. And we're all different in our own unique God-given ways. There are some hands, there are some feet. There are even some hidden parts that you may never see. You know, there are people in this church that do things that most of us never even know they've done. And if you're one of those people, thank you so much. You're like that heart. You're like the lungs. That you may get very little credit and you may, you know, get very little acknowledgement. But when you quit doing the job that God has placed you here to do, it's going to be like heart failure. It'll be like failure of the lungs. Listen, see, here's where you fit in. I believe, I am convinced that the church is not some invisible, universal, disorganized thing out there that you cannot see. The church is a local body of baptized believers who are joined, fitted, covenanted together to be the body of Christ and carry out Christ's work. See, here's the importance of the church. It's your place to serve. God saved you to be a member, a part of the body. And you are important. If you're a hand, if you're a foot. I have two hands and you know what? Both my hands are important. I've heard people say, well, you know, Victory, hey, they have plenty of people to fill. No. 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 Victory is an opportunity for service. Okay? And we are the body of Christ. Where do you fit in? Let me tell you something. Before you fit in, you got to attach yourself. I know that there are a lot of people today who have the concept, well, church is not all that important. You don't have to go. You go to church to get to heaven, and you're right. You're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're saved because you call upon Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But let me tell you, you cannot serve your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ apart from the New Testament church. It says we are the body. not I'm the body, not they're the body. It says we are the body. And every part is needed. We need you to fill that role that God has gifted you in. If you're a hand, be a hand. If you're a foot, be a foot. Whatever you are, do what God has gifted you to do. Be attached. Maybe you're here today and you know you've never joined the church. It's time. It's time to attach. It's time to get in that position to serve. And as long, and I'll tell you this, as long as you're not attached to the body, there's a part of the body that's not functioning like it's supposed to be. Okay? It's like me having to do without a hand. I like both my hands. Now let me rephrase that. I love both my hands. How about you? Do you love both your hands? I want to keep them. I want them to be here. I want them to both be healthy and functioning. You might be that hand that we're missing. Time to attach. Time to make a commitment to this local New Testament church, if this is where the Lord is leading you. Then let's talk about the benefit. In closing, the benefit. Verse 26, and we didn't read this, but I had to include it this morning. I love being a member of the Lord's church. Okay? It says, and if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. You know something that is really strange? I have told people things that have been going on in my life, you know, from time to time. And there have been times that I was just really sad. And when I'd share it with somebody, the sadness that plagued me, a tear would come to their eye. They didn't have anything to do with the sadness in my life, but a tear would come to their eye. There have been times when I've been sick and, you know, and unable to get up and go. And boy, folks would go out of their way to do something nice and bring food or just call and check and say, what can I do? Why? Why did they do that? I mean, my sickness didn't affect their life. Oh, yes, it did. You see, that's part of being a member of New Testament church. If one hurts, we hurt. You see, you cannot mash my toe and the rest of my body not feel it. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been walking around at night and stump your toe? Did your toe hurt or did your body hurt? I'm voting with body. I mean, that just goes to the bone, doesn't it? See, that's the way the family of God is. We hurt when one hurts. We cry when one cries. We rejoice when one rejoices. Why? Because we are so closely connected as the body of Christ through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that it does matter to me what happens in your life, and it does matter to you what happens in my life. Oh, listen to me. The New Testament church is one of the greatest creations of God. Okay? My question is, where do you fit in? Are you a member of the Lord's New Testament church? If not, it starts with salvation. Let me tell you something. You can have your name on the church roll, but God's got a special roll, a roll called the Lamb's Book of Life. And when somebody calls upon Him as Savior, giving their life and committing their life to Him, that name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I remember when my name was recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, White Oak Missionary Baptist Church in Griffithville, Arkansas. My question to you is, when was your name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not do you go to church, not are you on the church roll, when was your name recorded? Okay? Because if it's not recorded, you're not part of the body. And you're definitely not going to heaven. So today I want to start at the very beginning. You got to be saved. As Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You got to be born into the kingdom of God, and you do that by calling upon Him as Savior. And the second thing, okay, you follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. See, baptism is your first public testimony. Just testifying, identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then, you're attached to the body of Christ, or you're attached to the church. Okay? But let me tell you something. To be the servant, to use the gift that God gives you, you got to be a part of the church, the body of Christ. Are you? If not, this invitation's for you. This invitation is for you if you need to be saved. This invitation is to you if you need to join the church. This invitation is for you if you need to rededicate your life. Guess what? Every once in a while, I'll get a part of my body that gets sick. I got to doctor it up and make it well. Maybe you're one of those parts that have been down for a while, been kind of sick. Maybe it's time to let the great physician provide the healing that you need today, the spiritual healing. Maybe it's time for rededication, your commitment to the body of Christ. Whatever spiritual need is today, I would just ask you, we're going to have a verse of invitation. I don't want you to do anything because I'm talking you into it. I want you to do whatever God lays on your heart. Follow Jesus and respond to His leadership. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the day. Oh, Lord, we thank You for the church, Your body, that You have called to carry Your kingdom work out on this earth. Lord, You have equipped us as Your servants to do that. So, Lord, for those that are in this service today who have never come to grips with where their place is in Your kingdom, in Your church, I pray, Lord, You would make it known to them today. I pray, Lord, that You will empower us in a supernatural way to reach out to this community, to the people we work with, to the people we play with, to the people, Lord, that You put in our paths, declaring the gospel to them. And, oh, Lord, help us to faithfully use the gift that You have given to us for Your honor and for Your glory. In Jesus' name I pray.